Welcome back to the Worthy Podcast. I am your host, Shani Thompson, and today's episode is going to have to be one of my favorite conversations that I've had on this show. If you are obsessed with your animals and pets and you wish that you could talk to them, or maybe you have lost a soul pet like myself and felt that crushing grief and you've wondered, you know, whether they're still with you, if they're around, if they'll ever come back to you, if what was the purpose of them being in my life, this episode is for you. So today I am sitting down with the beautiful Angel from Angel Connections. She is an amazing animal communicator and psychic medium who can have direct conversations with animals, both the ones that are here with us and those that have crossed over. Her main mission and message is to remind us to love our animals out loud, which I love, to love them hard while they're here with us and to really give them all of our hearts while they're alive. And today we are talking about animal communication, their soul contracts with us, pet reincarnation, and then returning to us, and the signs that our pets send us from the spirit world, or how we can connect with our animals while they're here with us, if they're unwell, if they're behaving strangely, or if they have passed. It's such a cool conversation, and it's been so healing for me personally after losing Hozzy unexpectedly last year. She was only 5 years old, and in my quest to really understand deeper about the meaning behind everything that happened and my grief and loss and her soul contract and whether we'll ever live a lifetime together again, it's been really beautiful for that. So if you follow me online, you know that Hozzy wasn't just a pet to us. She really was a member of our family. And sometimes I feel like, you know, people might have watched us grieve her loss and think maybe we're being dramatic or over the top. You know, she's just an animal, but she wasn't a dog to us. We never treated her like that. She was always a member of our family. We cared for her immensely. She was always inside. She ate better than us. She really was everything to us and such a big part of our daily routine and our life. So it was really weird and fast how it all happened. One moment she was well and the next she was behaving strangely. She wasn't able to jump up on the couch, which I thought was weird. She was being sick all the time, like 4 or 5 times a day. And that lasted for about a month. And I knew something was up and I was in chats with my holistic vet. We were doing all types of treatment for her, like chiropractic care and Reiki and healing and all types of things. And it was like in a minute, she lost sensation in her back legs one day and we took her to the vet and the vet said, oh, this doesn't look good. Like we need to take her to emergency. So that's where she spent a few days in ICU while they did a lot of testing on her. You know, she was otherwise fit and well. So it was so strange for a 5-year-old, very healthy and fit dog to present with symptoms like this. So they, you know, thought maybe middle ear infection. They did some scans on her, on her brain. And it ended up being a autoimmune disease that attacked her brain. So it was so sad and so fast how it all happened. But this episode is really about honoring her life, and commemorating her and just reminiscing about her beautiful personality and just the love and joy that she brought to our lives. So I'm so excited for you to listen to this conversation. If you have experienced pet loss, or, you know, you have a pet who is nearing, the end of their life and you have fear and sadness in your body, this will be so healing for you as well. Angel is so beautiful with her message and really helps you understand the purpose of these gorgeous animals in our lives. So without further ado, let's welcome this incredible woman onto the Worthy Podcast. Well, first of all, thank you so much for coming in and agreeing to do your first podcast with me.
Thank you so much for having me, Shani. It's exciting. Nervous yeah. but exciting.
I know it always is a little bit nerve-wracking. It's a bit serious in here, isn't it? But you're going to see it's going to be a casual, fun conversation like we had yesterday.
Awesome.
I've been so excited to have you on because I've had my friend Anna share her incredible experience with you, helping her with her dog Zeus. And then I just knew instantly just by jumping on your page and your website, I just really loved your energy. And I thought, I have to have a session with Angel as well to communicate with Hozzy. Mm. And it was such a beautiful connection. I just wanted to say thank you. I'm so grateful. What a gift.
Oh, thank you. You have. It was a sacred thing to do, like to connect with Hozzy in spirit and just to share the messages, you know, to let you know that she was okay. Mm. It's an honor. It's an honor.
Yeah. So. What a gift. And I want to know, like, let's rewind all the way back to the beginning. When did you realize you had this gift? Like, how did it come about for you?
I would say the very first time was probably maybe 15, 16 years ago. And I walked into a framer for art into his shop, and he had a boxer that was there. And I have a beautiful big love for boxers. And so I saw her and said, you know, do you mind if I go and say hello to your beautiful boxer? And when I touched her, it was a flood of information that came to me. And she told me that she had 13 lumps. She told me that she was going in for an operation the next day. She wasn't sure if her person was ready, that she really was tired and wanted to go, but wasn't sure. Showed me her mother, showed me what car she drives in with her dad, told me the role that she played with her.
Whoa.
But I didn't know what this was because I just was overcome with emotion, and I had all this information and just didn't know what to do with it, you know, because it's difficult. Like, if you don't know what this is, to tell someone, oh, I've just gotten all this information from your animal. And at that time, there wasn't too much information around about animal communication as prevalent as it is now. Mm-hmm. And so I had to be brave and ask the guy if he believes that the animals can communicate, and then shared with him, you know, what it is that she'd showed me. And he just said, you know, if anything happens, I'll just die. And so she looked at me and she's like, well, I can't go.
Oh.
That was the very first time, and I was curious about it. But then my soul dog, Gordon, he was 14, a Dachshund, and it was born out of grief. And it was wanting to know that they could communicate. I was curious about reincarnation. I was curious about, you know, what this connection is that I have with my animal, the soul connection that I have. And, I ended up joining a group and then ended up, doing communications for people that were overseas. And I had to wait 6 hours to get feedback. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to give it a go. We'll see, you know, what happens. And, it ended up being yes, 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 yes for everything that I'd gotten. And, I've just been guided along the way with the animals.
Gorgeous.
People then asked me to open up a Facebook page. It was by donation, and then it turned into a business. And that's how it came about.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And you don't just do animal communication. I mean, in our reading, my grandmother came through. I was not expecting that.
So the animals, they show us who they are in spirit as well. Mm. So I guess it would come under mediumship.
Yeah.
I also do psychic work. So sometimes the animals also help in like giving future things. So I do psychic readings for people also. The emotion code, I'm an emotion code practitioner.
Tell me what that is.
The emotion code is accessing the subconscious mind. We've got a lot of things, you know, that we hold on to because we're energetic beings. And so say that you've got a trapped emotion of anger that you had like when you're 7 years old, and you've like put it around your heart to protect your heart, then you can see things like through the filter of anger or something that triggers like that particular emotion. And you might consciously think when I ask you, well, Shani, you know, we're going to release a trapped emotion. It's around 7 years old of anger. Just allow the memory to come up. You might think consciously that it's going to be a particular emotion, but subconsciously that memory actually comes up from the surface, and then you realize, oh, really? It was that?
And it's trapped in your body.
Yeah.
So you help people release that.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah. So, and then, writing books and doing art. And
You have a blog and a Substack and all those beautiful things.
Yeah.
And you're an artist and you do Reiki. And I'm like, I just love her. She's my person.
Gorgeous. No, it's good to have, I need to have variety, like, for who I am. Otherwise, I don't know, it gets stagnant for me.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to have the different things that, that I love. And anytime if I've thought, the animals are not my thing, or, maybe I'm not supposed to be doing it, because the universe, I just follow the universe, and sometimes, like, the weeks will be cats, sometimes the week will be animals, sometimes the week will be people. And so I just follow the flow.
Yeah.
And, so if ever I've been in doubt, the animals are like, no, just wait, we've got horses coming, and they'll let me know. So, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So many gifts, so many modalities to help people heal.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know more about how the messaging comes through for you when you are chatting with animals, whether they're living or past, because I know it's different for all different types of communicators. How does it look for you? Does it come in, you said before with the boxer, it was like a flood of information. Is it pictures? Can you hear it? Can you feel it?
It comes in really quick, and I have to be open-minded, like when I need to come with an open heart and an open mind, and then it's just a flood of information. When it comes in, it's images. Okay, so I see it like images. I also hear. I'm not reading your animal. I'm communicating with your animal. And so it's back and forth. I have to wait for a response, So it can be a feeling that I get. It's images, it's sounds, it's smells also. And then a knowing, like it's just a knowing.
A knowing in your being.
Yeah. So it's all of the senses that are involved, like when I do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane. So, so cool. And my next question, I have a lot of questions for you, and I've got them all written down because I don't want to miss any. But what's the difference between communicating with animals that are still with us? Like you just had a little chat with Zusie before we were recorded today, Anna's Frenchie. And the difference between like how you had a conversation with Hozzy yesterday who's crossed over. Or is it the same?
It's exactly the same.
Okay.
Because we're energetic beings. And so if we're not in our physicality, we still exist, And so it's the energy of the animal that I connect with in spirit. They don't have a physicality about them. So when I connected with Hozzy yesterday, she's still her beautiful young self. If you've got like a 17-year-old animal who's, got the beautiful white hair, a little, the older animal, they'll show me that they're at their prime, like when they were a younger self. But that's for my benefit to share with you then, what the animal looks like.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense.
So with the animals in spirit, the only thing that I would say is that there is more insight in reflection of what they've lived in their life and what purposes they have with, the people in their life. But then also to the information as to whether they're coming back. So if anything, the way that I converse or what I converse about with them can be slightly different, but how I connect and how they communicate is not different at all.
Yeah. You mentioned before, what their purpose here may be. Do all animals come with a soul contract?
They do.
Gorgeous.
From my understanding. So the communications that I've done, what the animals have shared with me, they have their own personality, their own will, their own perspective in life, and their own, they're part of our soul group. And so when they come, it can be to, fulfill a contract that you've had with that animal. So say that there's a connection that you've had with them in a past life and there's something to resolve in this life, then the animal will come back and resolve it, experience it. So as much as people think that they've chosen the animal for them, the animals have equally chosen you for their purpose also.
Yeah, I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I know when on reflection when Hozzy passed, I said to Matt, she came here for 5 years. It was felt like such a short time for us. But I said to Matt, I know that her soul contract was to come here and open us up to having children because we were in a phase of our lives It was 2020. It was just before the world shut down. And my husband and I were just so career driven. It was always about like the next milestone and the next thing we wanted to create and growth and scaling. And we were very like selfish, you know, like no kids. And that's all we focused on. And it was an amazing season of life and so grateful for that season of life. But we had been married for years and years, and every year we'd say, let's try for kids next year. Let's just use this year to like get the next goal and the next goal. And we did that for 5-6 years. And I remember when we had Hozzy, obviously the world shut down and we thought, what a great time to have a dog because we can't travel, we can't go anywhere. And she just brought this beautiful sense of love to the home that we had never experienced as adults. We had animals as children, but it's very different when it's your, you know, your fur baby. And just the sense of unconditional love, like what it feels like to be unconditionally loved and to unconditionally love back. I remember that feeling, and weirdly enough, we were like, we're ready for kids. Like, how beautiful would it be to have a child? Because this is kind of like what it would be like. And I know that's what her purpose was, because we would have just kept going about for the next goal, the next goal. She really came into our life to open us up to that. And yeah, I feel like, you know, obviously Rui came and she was kind of like, like goal accomplished. Yeah. I did that. Yeah. So yeah, I really wholeheartedly believe that that's what our animals are here to do, whether they're dogs, cats, horses, snakes, whatever it may be. It's a very different purpose.
The animals, the thing that I'd really want to say though, Shani, is that a lot of people see it like a line, you know, my animals fulfilled the purpose. Okay, well, that's it. They're going to be going now, you know, and it's not linear. It's a cycle. It's a circle.
Yeah.
You know, and there are things, you know, there are different purposes with different members of the family also. So if you have an animal come in, it might be like for the major, you know, sole purpose of welcoming, you know, children in for you and your partner, but there's a connection, a personal connection that, you know, Hozzy has with you. And a personal connection that Hozzy has with her daddy.
Absolutely.
And then also with your son.
Yeah, it's very different.
And that's
for all
part
of,
like their purpose also.
Yeah.
So it's uniquely, you know, it's a unique connection with every individual.
Yeah. I know that she also came here to crack Matt's heart wide open and she did that really beautifully.
Yeah.
What are the most common soul missions that animals come here to fulfill? Is there a common one or is it different for all of them?
It's unique like to all of them. Some of them come in as healers. So say that somebody's gone through a really hard time in their life. You know, a lot of people that I come across, you know, it's been a big transition in their life when the animals come. They're like when they leave, it's a catalyst for change as well. But yeah, healers, teachers, what else? Guardians, companions, but the role also can change as they're here as well. So what might have started off as them, you know, being a being to love, you know, maybe someone's got a really hard heart and they just need to have their heart, you know, kept open a little crack.
Yeah.
Here comes this beautiful little animal that, you know, just needs to be loved. And so this person puts all their love into that animal. Later on, this animal then can, you know, also fulfill the role of being like a guardian. Okay, I need you to get out of bed, mum, you know, or also a teacher, you know, if they're going through health issues and you're supposed to be on your purpose learning about something to do with nutrition with the animals, for instance, you know, that can also be part of their purpose as well.
I learned so much about gut health with her, actually,
reflecting
back and just great food and different medicinal foods because she had a lot of gut issues. So,
That's something that's going around, which I find is it's not exactly true, I feel. And that is when people take responsibility for the illness of their animals. Oh my God, is my animal sick because of me? No, it's not because of you. But sometimes the animal reflects what's going on with us so that we pay attention, because we're always watching our animals, right? And so if we put the care towards our animals, it can sometimes bring a recognition, oh, okay, that's actually what's going on with me as well. And sometimes the solutions for your animal is exactly what it is that you also need for yourself and vice versa.
I want to talk about what happens when our animals do pass. I remember the night that Hozzy, we said goodbye to her. And that night I had the most vivid dream where I can't tell you where we were. It was very dark. And I remember her saying to me, "Come with me, mommy. I want to show you where I am now." And I was following her through these dark hallways, all like turning left and right and down. And then we got to this like really bright room. And I remember her saying, "I'm going to go now and I'm okay. Like this is where I'm going now. I'm safe." And I remember waking up, I was bawling my eyes out and explaining this to Matt, saying, "This is going to sound really crazy, but she showed me where she was and she went to this really beautiful, bright light. Like I wanted to go to it." Do you know what that looks like for them when they transition and cross over?
So I can only speak from my experience, and I don't think anybody can definitely say what anything is like to do with that, because it's unless we get there and then we know, right?
Yeah.
It's a glimpse, and it's an honor to get the glimpses that I get. I know that everybody is welcomed by someone when they transition, when they change form, and that, you know, the energy is always alive. Some people believe that the animals, they are taken, like, you know, for a place for healing and that you can't connect with them. I haven't found that to be true. They're in a different realm, and the realm is here. But it's not in our physical reality,
like what we can see. Yeah.
But what they show me is that they are formless, and the relief that the animals sometimes feel when they're out of their physical body, their energies are so big and so beautiful, and they show me who it is that they're with. The other thing that they show me is that sometimes it can be different scenes. So say that, you know, I connect with an animal and they've been in spirit maybe for a couple of weeks. They'll show me one scenario and show me the people that they're with or what they're doing. And then maybe if I connect like a year or two later, they might show me a different scenario altogether.
Yeah, cool. Okay.
Which is, you know, it's always exciting, and to approach it with curiosity when we look at, you know, connecting with them in spirit.
I suppose as well, like, you know, if there is an animal that's been unwell or old, and that release from their physical form would just be so freeing. Mm-hmm. Like I remember when we made the decision to say goodbye to Hozzy, it was out of respect to her, because we could just see that she was not doing well, and I just couldn't see her in that state anymore. It feels like such a horrible decision to make, but it's more so for their peace. And I do feel like, you know, the release of that would have just been euphoric, like beautiful. And now you're everywhere instead of in one place and one thing.
Mm-hmm. The thing that's hard for people is imagining what life is like without the animal.
Yeah.
And sometimes with our best intentions, we keep on treating the animal. You know, if we don't check in and ask, which is the beautiful thing about animal communication, we can find out what it is that the animal's wanting. Okay, I'm not wanting to go right now. You know, mm-hmm. I can deal with this. I'm happy to sleep. Sometimes the animals need people to be on board, especially if there are children in the family. You know, there comes a point where your fear is overridden by the love that you have for the animal.
Yeah.
You know, you make your choice out of love and not out of fear.
Yeah.
And it's coming to a place of acceptance, you know. Okay, I can see that the quality of my animal's life, it's not how it used to be.
Mm.
And there are so many limitations and stops. And you can tell when the life force is going from your animal also.
Yeah, you can.
You know, and if you're wanting to, like, give them a good quality of life, then we have every possibility and opportunity to make sure that they also transition well.
Yeah.
You know, peacefully. And so that we are, you know, surrounding them with love. And that makes it a lot easier for the animals too, because they're not afraid of going like we are.
No, they're not.
You know, they show me, like, after they close their eyes, their physical eyes, the next blink,
so happy.
They're in a different state, a different form, and in a different realm. And it's a thought away, a second away. Some of the animals think they're really clever how they can be in one place and then in the next, and the things that they can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's there just comes a point, if you are willing to connect with your heart as you go through the journey, at the end, there will be a moment where you can be accepting of it and be peaceful about it.
Yeah, I think in the moment and leading up, like, it's so difficult and it's so hard. And you do think, like, how am I going to live without them? But if there's anything that I've really reflected on, it's how she's just everywhere now. Mm-hmm. And it's so bizarre. I think it's actually quite funny and clever, like, how she gives me so many signs. And I'm like, oh, there's Hozzy. And mm-hmm. I mean, I have my notes section of my phone full of all, like, hundreds of signs that I've received from her since she passed in May last year. Mm-hmm. And I know yesterday when we spoke, she said to you, I want mommy to know that I think I'm really clever with, like, how good I am at sending her signs, and she's picking up on them. Yeah. Like, and now she just gets to be everywhere, which is just so beautiful.
But isn't it beautiful to be able to communicate with the animals also and recognize when they send a sign, rather than explaining it away or trying to be analytical about it?
Yeah, I think you're crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You're accepting of it, you know, and then they can share even more, you know, let you know that you're around. Or sometimes, like, the animals have to send really big, obvious signs for their people to actually know, oh, actually, yes, it was my animal, you know. But it's a new way of communicating.
So we all have the ability and the gift to tune in and tap in. Mm-hmm. I want to talk more about that.
Yeah. So animal communicators and people that have psychic abilities, there's nothing special about it, right? We all know how to talk. And if we're learning a new language, some people can be more proficient at the language than what we are.
Yeah.
But if we take the time to connect with our hearts and step into our authenticity and listen to our inner wisdom, that's the start of being able to, you know, open up the other senses. So for every outer sense that we have, we also have an inner sense. Mm-hmm. So clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, you know, clear hearing, clear seeing, clear knowing, all of these abilities we have within us, and it's learning how to use that. So learning the language of it. And there are signs, like, you know, indications that you can pick up on in your physical life. You know, if you walk into a room, what is it that you first notice? It's not going to be just one thing, right? But there'll be something, or maybe two, that are dominant. Maybe it's the lighting, or is it the feel of a room, or is it, you know, how the room sounds, you know, what is it that you're aware of? And then that can be a clue as to how you receive information.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember having, like, in meditation once, I asked her, show me what yes means, and, like, how does it feel, and then show me what no means. And they were both two very different things. Mm. Yes felt like sun rays. So if I wanted to ask her a question, like, that would be what I'd feel or see. And then no felt like sand, like falling into a hourglass, you know, like. And I just thought those two things were so weird. And I really did think for a moment, am I going crazy? Mm-mm. But any time I've wanted to tune in and tap in to her, I just ask yes, no questions. And I really feel
the difference. Yeah.
Which is so nice. But I'm not able to communicate to her like you. Like, you were just beautiful yesterday. It was such a gorgeous session. And
Only because I've practiced, Shani.
Yeah, of course, of course. And it's your, you know,
And it's also having that, the receptivity, being able to be clear-minded. You know, when we were doing the communication yesterday and she was showing me how she felt in the last few days, remember I said to you, I'm not going to reach. Mm. I'm not going to reach and try and figure out what's wrong. Mm-hmm. The reason why I said that is because the second that I start going, well, what was wrong? Well, why is she showing me that? What is she doing here? I'm not in the right part of my brain to be able to be open to receive the information, because then my ego gets in the way. Oh my gosh, what happens if Shani thinks that, you know, this, what I'm saying is silly, it's not coming from Ozzy. Yeah. I've completely stepped out.
Yeah.
So it's important to be open-minded and clear and just receive the information. And even if it sounds ridiculous, some things that I've had to give sound absolutely ridiculous to me, but the person knows exactly what it is that I'm talking about.
Oh, everything you said yesterday, I was like, there's no way you could know that.
So
you have a workshop coming up, or you do workshops. Can you share a little bit more about
what's
involved?
I haven't got anything planned as yet. I will be doing it this year. But I've got a workshop that I've put together to connect with the animals in spirit. It's for people that have gone through pet loss and are finding it really hard to move on. sometimes just being able to share the experience of losing the animal and acknowledging what the relationship is, learning how it is that you receive information and how to recognize the signs from the animals, it's becoming proficient in that language.
Cool.
And so, yeah, that's something that I want to put together. And I want it to be an intimate group of people, so I might do it a couple of times if there's an interest, mm-hmm. just so that it's a close community, and then it would be checking in. How did you go this week with, you know, this particular section? And it's experiential as well. So it's not just sitting there and listening to me. You actually go away and, you know, start putting into practice the things that I've got within the workbook to help you connect deeper with yourself, trust your intuition, and learn how to communicate with the animals or sending and receiving signs.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
So people can learn from you how to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And is that in person or online?
It'll be online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So anyone worldwide can join you.
Anyone.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
What a beautiful offering. Let's talk a little bit about reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
So when Hoz passed, actually rewind, one of my favorite movies is called A Dog's Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with it. Mm-hmm. It's the movie about the dog who passes a couple of times or three times maybe in his, calls him his master,
mm-hmm.
his master's life, and he just keeps coming back and the master never notices or the guy and until the very last scene.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, my gosh, this is my dog. I bawled my eyes out. And any dog movie just gets me. But that movie, like, it really rocked me. I watched it before I even had Hoz. And so I always had this belief that that was just in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mum actually had an incredible experience with her dog who passed, who sent her a message about reincarnating and coming back and gave my mum exact location of where she was to go and get her. And it was just, it's a crazy story, but, and anyone would think it's crazy, but you just can't make the details up. It was very specific about mm-hmm. the farm she was at and the litter, how many in the litter, and she was a girl, and even the way that mum found the breeder, it was very serendipitous. Mm-hmm. Someone random from Singapore sent her the detail. It was, anyway, long story short, when my mum went through that experience and reunited with her soul dog, I thought, wow, maybe that's not just for the movies. Maybe reincarnation is real.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to listen to podcasts and try and find information about reincarnation when Hozzy passed to kind of, I guess, believe it. But a part of me was like, am I just trying to believe this to make myself feel better?
Mm.
So tell me, like, what do you see in this work that you do with animals? Do they come back to us?
They do, but not everyone comes back. And this is the thing where we have to be open-hearted and trust that, you know, what's happening for us, you know, it's divinely guided, and that the animals also have free will and they have their soul purpose, and they also can decide what kind of body to come back in, you know, as well. Other animal communicators have said that they don't experience reincarnation. It doesn't happen very often, which can be really downhearting, you know, for people. For me, I've witnessed quite a number of reincarnations of animals coming back in the specific and given specific details. Sometimes I can't get like a particular time. It's about free will too.
Mm.
So if I give you a definitive date, say like December 25th, and it's like, you know, in 2027, and then all of a sudden you're overseas in England, not at home or anything, how are you going to get a dog to come in at that time, you know? So I try to be really fluid and open, and the animals will give me a roundabout time. Having said that, though, in an experience that I had with one particular animal, it was a Rottweiler, and she's a client from the UK, beautiful person. And I gave the communication. She said, is my animal coming back? And I said, well, okay, are you coming back? He says, well, not now, because there are things that have to happen first, you know, and gave me like criteria of what had to happen first. He said, about 3 years, she's not going to like it. She's not going to like it at all, but you have to let her know that she has to wait. And I said, okay, well, have you got a month, you know, any time? It'll be end of October, beginning of November. And the guy that she's with is going to choose.
Oh, so very specific information.
Yeah. Well, I can't give the details of the communication, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
And it ended up being that she got in touch with me, and it was the second week in November, and said to me, oh, when you told me what you did, I thought that you, you know, I thought, well, that's too long to wait for a dog. I was really sad. She wasn't into relationships at all. She told me the events that had happened, and said that they actually had gone to go pick up a puppy at the end of October. In the exact way that that the dog had given me, is this my dog? So, yes, it is her dog. And there has been a number of times that, you know, the animals have told me when they're coming back and how they're coming back.
Wow.
I think the most, one of the most beautiful communications was a horse who was black and white, who told me when, you know, he wanted to come back. And I said, okay, are you coming back as a horse again? He said no, that his person was going to university and would be moving, and that he would like to come back as a cat.
Oh, wow.
Which he did.
So they come back in different forms.
They can come back in different forms also. So normally it's a soul recognition, and it's through the eyes, you know, something that feels like very familiar about the dog. In a communication in the Philippines, there was a dog that had passed, and another dog that had walked in. This is like a soul over, so not reincarnation as such. But this dog, when she took this puppy home, this puppy knew exactly where to go, knew where his bed was, knew where the bowl was. And so that's a soul over. There's so many different things that can happen.
Yeah.
I know that reincarnation for me is real because it's happened in our family with our dog. And so when, you know, I connected with Gordon, and you might think, well, Angel, it's because it's Gordon and you're just making this up because you wanted to come back, you know. I'd accepted we still have to go through the grief journey for the individual that the animal was, because when they come back, it might be similarities, but it's not the same personality. And so when I connected with Gordon, I asked, you know, are you coming back? And he said, yes. But he said, this time I won't be a boss dog, which is what he was.
Yeah.
And I'll come back smaller. And my litter will have 8, and there'll be 2 boys and 6 girls, and I will choose you. When I do, I'll like come up and lay on your chest.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay. So, you know, you just follow your intuition, and it will always guide you to where the animals are, you know, and you can't get it wrong, because if the animal has decided to come back, you cannot miss them.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we ended up going to the woman's place, and all of the puppies were asleep. 6 girls, 2 boys.
No. Oh. Wow.
And the girls, my daughters, they all sat down. No one moved. I knelt down, and then this one little boy ran up to me and put his head on my chest.
Wow.
And, yeah, he's a friend. Like, he's not a boss dog. It's not the same personality.
Yeah.
But the soul is the same.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful story.
Yeah. So it's being open. You know, sometimes it's that the animals will choose the other animals that are coming into our life for us. Sometimes it's going to be that, you know, it's later in life that the animals come. Sometimes it's right away. You know, and there's like a fluidity about it. You can't dictate.
Can't force it.
You can't force it. You can ask, but it's not always going to be a yes, you know. So it's always divinely guided. And so to be open and clear-minded to, you know, to accept what it is that the animal's giving you, then gives you the best opportunity, you know. Then there's no heartbreak over reincarnation.
Yeah.
Just know that it does happen, you know. And if it does happen to you, what a gift. But if it doesn't, just know that, you know, the animals also have a say in who the next animal is that's coming to you.
Yeah.
You know.
Gorgeous.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was really funny with Mum's dog, actually, because when her dog Halo was passing away or passed away, they connected with her and she said, I'm going to come back, but there's going to be one thing you don't like about me, but I'm coming back. And they thought that was really odd. And the dog they have now, she's gorgeous, but she's really boisterous. And it's like the one thing that Mum and Dad are like, oh my gosh. And she said it, but it is her, because she does the same thing with her toys that Halo did. there's so many characteristics and things about her that's like, well, that's Halo. So yeah, I wholeheartedly believe that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason why I connected with you was because I wanted to know if Hozzy was ready to come back. Mm-hmm. And the first time, so when Hozzy had just crossed over, we have a friend in our circle who can communicate with animals, and she told me that she was not ready to come back anytime soon. And I really honored and respected that. It was very soon. It had just happened. And she told us that she was on a spiritual journey and she was learning a lot about herself spiritually. So she had to really spend some time in the world she was in. And then, yeah, I guess yesterday when my main and primary question was, is she ready to come back now? Because we miss her so much. Like it's, she wasn't just a dog for us. That was a family member.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's, I guess her message was not yet.
Not yet. So depending on like where you're going in life, you know, the animals, they can accompany us on new beginnings, new chapters.
Mm-hmm.
Changes that we go through in our life, like I said, a catalyst for change. You know, maybe when they leave, there's a new change that's coming also. But yeah, the animals, if they are coming back, you cannot miss them.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be soon enough for us,
yeah,
but it'll end up being in perfect timing.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I spoke with Maddie last night, because that was his first question, so is she ready to come back? And I said, honey, no, she's not ready to come back yet. She said, she's going to come back when we have a second baby. And he's like, oh gosh, that's ages away.
We don't know.
We don't know.
And that's the thing. Like if we just, you know, approach it with a sense of curiosity and be peaceful, you know,
yeah,
knowing that what is meant for us will never, ever pass us by, then, you know, the animals, they come back at just exactly the right time.
Yeah.
And in so many special ways too, you know. There's sometimes like almost like a magic around it.
Yeah.
How the animals, you know, make their way back into our lives.
I think it's clever because we have a lot of travel booked in the first 6 months of this year. There's no way we could retrospect, I'm like, babe, there's no way we could have a puppy right now. Like
No. We've
got three overseas trips booked in the next 4 months and we've got things like projects and things happening. So I get it.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of like, oh, but you're also like, okay. I understand. But
you trust your intuition and you'll get the prompt, you know, you'll get the nudge. Okay. It's time to like, you know, start looking and considering that, you know.
Yeah. She'll present herself when she's ready.
She will.
So yeah, yesterday was really healing and beautiful for me because it just kind of validated all the things that I thought she was wanting and also thought that she was showing me and sharing. And she also really shared about how happy she is and how free she is, and just even the specific details about when we did say goodbye. It was very like the detail was so spot on about that. It was a very small room and she was laying between Matt and myself and we were both whispering to her and we kissed her on the forehead. I thought, wow, that was literally it. And then how she said, oh, I just then did zoomies around that room and I came home with you in the car, and all of that was just really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because so you sometimes you kind of fall into the trap of thinking that's gone forever, like, but that's ended, but it's not, like, you know.
It's not ended. Our physical journey with the animals has ended.
Yeah, the 3D.
The 3D.
Experience.
And that hurts. That hurts. And I wish more than anything I could do something to help the people that are hurting, you know. But because it's energetic and because the animals, you know, are now in energetic form, that's for always.
Mm.
It's for always. And often in communications, the animals have shown me like what happens where they've passed. And then often they show me like going home. They're with their people, you know, for, I don't know, a few days after.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, a really beautiful, sacred time where you can actually like feel.
Yeah.
Maybe you see your animal whip around the corner. Maybe you hear them scratching. Maybe you hear their clicks on the floor with their nails.
I could hear her little nail. I heard her nails down the hallway once.
Yeah.
I heard her. I felt her. Actually, you mentioned this yesterday, mm-hmm, how.
Different signs that she's given that she's around, you know. But if we can just be, you know, in a state of curiosity and not have to analyze everything.
Yeah.
And if you see something, please don't directly look at it. You know, so many people are like, what was that?
You know? It goes away.
Yeah, and it's gone. If you see it like through your peripheral, enjoy it, you know. Oh, okay, that's Aussie just over
yeah.
there. And then, you know, you get to enjoy that magic and then you can analyze it, you know, but try to capture it when your intuition, it comes in fast and it comes in quick. And this is what it means, like, to trust, to be able to accept that, you know, the signs are actually for you. It might not make sense, you know, but it doesn't have to make sense. It's yeah. not supposed to. And was it your imagination? Yes, it was. Because how else is it going to come through?
Yeah.
You know, if you had a voice all of a sudden that came through in a different tone, or, you know, say it's a male's voice that, you know, that you're that you hear and not your voice, that can be really scary.
Mm.
Right. So when we hear like our inner voice, it'll sound like our voice, but we know that it feels different when we're receiving the information. If we accept that, you know, it's our imagination channel that we're receiving information, we're receiving imagination information, then that opens up the conversation for that.
Yeah.
It's not fantasy imagination for creators, you know, musicians and artists and actors. It's a receiving of information. So if you didn't make it up and you didn't on purposely like imagine that Hozzy was there and that's what you saw, you have received imagination
yeah,
information.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I think the human mind just loves to conceptualize things and like compartmentalize. So like mm-hmm. for us, it makes so much sense to say like, well, this is matter
mm-hmm.
and I can hear it and feel it and see it and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
But really, this is just energy moving yeah. and we the way that we see and pick up is matter, but mm-hmm. it's energy.
Yeah.
And so when, because actually one of the questions Matt asked me last night when I was sharing the reading with him, he said, I don't understand, like, how is it that she's everywhere? Like, how is it that she's here and there? And how does that happen? And I just said to him, because if you remove the physical that we see, it's all just energy, and we are then everything. We are the stars, we are the ocean, we are the sand, we are the air. That's what we are. But right now, like, your brain is trying to conceptualize the 3D, mm-hmm. but beyond the 3D, we're just all energy. We're all so connected. That's it. So that's how she's so everywhere.
There's no time, no distance,
yeah,
no space.
Yeah.
You know, so it can be everywhere simultaneously. Like, yeah, it's energy.
Yeah.
It just, you can have, you know, you can have an animal that's in spirit 1 minute and then the next minute they're in the person's bedroom.
Yeah. Oh, she's been on my bed and leant on me.
Yeah. So that was, yeah, that's a beautiful yeah. thing that Hozzy, you know, she's clever because you imagine being in spirit and how would you convey to people that you love them?
Oh, what would you do? Yeah, I'd try and throw things at them. Yeah. And
like, you'd be one of the scary yeah. ghosts. No, but, you know, you think about the effort that it takes, like, you know, to solidify,
yeah.
to, like, actually have weight.
Mm.
So if your animal's in spirit and you have an animal lean on you, say thank you.
Yeah.
It's such a big effort.
It's so huge.
Know? Or they bring, like, a sign, you know, maybe it's an H that she starts sending you. Each time that you see the H, just say thank you.
Yeah.
You know, oh, okay, I recognize it. Thank you so much, Hozzy. You know? Yeah.
But I laughed yesterday when you said to me, am I right to say that she wasn't allowed on the couch? And I said, yeah, she wasn't allowed on the couch. And there was like this one little part of the poof that had like a towel that she was allowed to lay on. And you said, well, she's saying, Mummy, I want to let you know that I'm on the couch every day. And I'm like rolling on it and stretching. And I'm like, yeah, that's Hozzy. Yeah. She's so cheeky.
It's often like the animals that haven't been allowed on furniture. There was a dog a couple of weeks ago and he showed me knocking cushions off the outdoor couch,
yeah.
The outdoor furniture. And I said, so if you see the pillows, you know, flying off the, you know, find them all over the place, it's him knocking them off.
Yeah.
She goes, well, every day we go out there, we fix up the pillows and then the pillows end up like on the ground again and no one else is knocking them off. There's no other animal out there. Yeah. So
no explanation yeah. about that.
No. So, yeah, they send beautiful signs, like all different kinds of signs. Sometimes like people – like I might get a specific sign that I share with the person and they might think that it's ridiculous or they might think, well, you know, that can't really happen. I remember one communication, there was a woman who had lost her dog and I said, a sign that he wants to send you is yellow butterflies, a whole, like it's on a water fountain that I see and it's all yellow butterflies. And I said, I think it's at a park because I can hear children also. She's like, well, we don't really have a park like that in our area, so I don't know how this is going to happen, Angel. You know,
yeah.
No one goes, I don't go to the park. I'm like, okay. And then a couple of months later, she said, we were driving, we went on a trip somewhere and we stopped, you know, at a town that was 2 hours away from where they live. And her children just wanted to get out and stretch their legs. Well, it ended up being a park. And then she's sitting there and she looks over and she sees that it's a water fountain.
Oh, my gosh.
And she sees one little yellow butterfly land on the water fountain.
Oh, beautiful.
And then the whole thing was covered in yellow butterflies. Oh, and wow. So she had a moment knowing that that was her animal, letting her know that he was around. And, you know, sometimes you have to wait. It's not, you know, you get off the call from me and then it happens straight away. Sometimes it is. But then other times, you know, it takes a little while for it to happen.
Yeah. And you also have to open your mind and heart up to receive it too, don't you?
Yeah. So I don't know. I try to give evidence, like evidential information, so you know what to look out for. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, proof and evidence that I'm communicating with your animal.
Yeah.
So things that are specific to you. But, yeah, it's having that curiosity. So if you come with the intention to test, I'm not the best person for that. I won't be the one that you come to, you know, what's his favorite toy or, you know, what's his favorite food. I'm the animal communicator that you come to when you really want to connect with your animal and build your relationship with your animal. You know, and helping in all kinds of circumstances, like living as well, you know. So when you get a puppy, helping the puppy learn, if there's a change in your life and you're welcoming a baby, if you're moving, if your animal's going in for surgery or something like that, you know, the recovery process if they've had something happen, when they're ready to transition, you know, when you're in that golden era is what I call it, where time slows down and all of your attention is going towards the care of your animal when they're older, then, you know, I'm the one that is in communication quite regularly with the animal. How are they feeling with, like, you know, their medication? How is it that they're feeling in their body? Is it time yet? Like, how much time do we have left, sort of thing? What do we want to do when it's time to transition? Is it at home or is it at the vets? You know, who needs to be there? Who's the last person that I want to see, you know?
Wow.
So all of these details.
You don't just communicate with those that have crossed over. No. You are in communication with animals that are living and present and you do some beautiful work. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how I came across you, actually. Yeah. So my friend Anna, who you have worked with for years since 2018, I think you've worked with her and communicated with her little guy Zeus, who was in here just before saying hello to you. You had a beautiful connection, finally got to meet in person. It was so gorgeous. And I'm sure Anna won't mind us sharing this story, but last year Zeus was really unwell and she's used you for years, obviously, and connected with you and said something's wrong with Zeus. I really need to talk to him. And you picked up on that he may have had a middle ear infection where the vets were saying, oh, no, he can't. I don't think it'll be a middle ear infection. Let's not do the MRI and the general anesthetic. You know, he's a Frenchie, he's older. But Zeus communicated with you that, yes, like that was the test that needed to happen for him and you saved his life. Mm. It was beautiful.
it's an honor, like, to communicate with the animals, but it's also something that I'm very grateful for is when people listen, you know. So for another little dog, he's in the UK, Scotland, I think. If Dawn's listening to this, sorry, Dawn. But her little dog, Paddington, he had something that was wrong. The doctor, the vets always thought that it was his hip.
Mm.
And when I asked him, you know, where is the pain coming from? He showed me his knee. And so, like, for, you know, for a number of visits, you know, the vet kept on insisting, it's the hip. And it was his knee. So then when they went to a bone specialist, you know, a surgeon, he said, well, I don't know how they missed the knee because there's something wrong with the knee.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, they can tell you.
They can. So I never ever diagnose and I always expect you to, you know, follow it up with your vet or have it confirmed by the vet.
Yeah.
And the same, like, you know, with behaviorists as well. It's not my job to fix your animal because they have free will. And the professionals are there, like, you know, and they have their purpose in place also. Mm-hmm. But animal communication is effective in, like, finding out what the perspective is from the animal's point of view.
Yeah.
And how they're feeling about something, you know, from their personal point of view.
Yeah.
So
I love that. Yeah. How special.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, I'm mindful of time, but I had some questions from my community mm-hmm. that they wanted to ask you. I thought sure. some of them were really great questions. Yeah. So the first question is, how can you connect with a past pet without a communicator? Obviously, your workshop is going to help people do that. Is there anything?
Gosh, there are a number of ways. There are a number of ways that you can do this. If you have an oracle deck and you use oracle decks with the intention, you can just get quiet and touch your heart space with the intention to connect with your animal. What is your animal wanting to communicate to you? And then pull a card and see if there's a message that can come through from your animal. That's one way. When you're sitting in meditation, if you are wanting to connect with your animal as you're sitting there with the intention, you can ask your animal, please come and sit with me and feel whether the atmosphere changes. If they come close, can you feel your animal when they come close? And if you can, you can ask them, okay, then move away so that I know what it feels like when you move away.
Yeah.
That's another way to be able to connect. Set the intention to have a dream about your animal.
Oh, yeah, you told Matt to do this.
Yeah. So set the intention and finish like the day with a feeling of gratitude so that your frequency is a little bit higher, because the animal's a higher frequency than us because of what we spoke about, unconditional love. So if we raise our vibration and we finish the day on the note of gratitude, then when we sleep subconsciously, our mind then it kind of is just open and the animals are able to connect much more easily than if we're in a state of grief and worry and stress, it just lowers like the vibration. No emotions are bad. Yeah. It's just that, to help raise them, it's always beneficial to finish the day in gratitude.
I love that. It's like you're opening the door to that subconscious awareness that turned like a dream. You can dream with them. Yeah. That's gorgeous.
Yeah. There's just some ways. So
I told Matt to do that. I said, Hozzy said, before you go to bed, you have to raise your frequency and vibration. And he laughed. He said, how dare Hozzy shame me like that and say I'm not open enough to receive a dream from her. That was funny. Okay, the next question is, how can I make my cat accept being part of a pack? He attacked me when my son was a baby and my partner is the cat's favorite.
Okay. This would be a case of actually communicating with the cat to find out how the cat is experiencing. Yeah. It could be that the baby has come in and so the cat feels as though the mother's attention is going towards the baby, which it should be.
Yeah.
But if the cat doesn't understand the role of the baby with the mother, then it could be, okay, well, I'm going to put my attention on this human because he's always ready to give me attention.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Or it can be that the sole purpose of this cat is to be with the father. What happens if the dad maybe might find that he's not getting enough attention because the mother is busy with the baby, which, it's normal when we welcome a new little one in the family. Yeah. But if we communicate with the cat, we can find out the cat's perspective and then convey, okay, but mum would really like you to still give attention to her too. She needs your love too. Or what is it that we can do to make it easier so that you feel like that you're still part of the family?
Oh, I love that. Yeah. That's so logical. That makes so much sense. how can we learn to tune into our own animals who are living?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The best way that you can do this is to get out of your head and into your heart. And this is basically just trusting your intuition. Right, we have our instinct, which is, for survival and safety.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our intuition, which is inner guidance. And so when intuitive information comes from the animals, that's the channel that the animals will bring like their information. And again, it's receiving information via your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you look at your animal, your analytical brain might go, what are you saying? Like, what are you trying to tell me? If you be in a state of curiosity and open-mindedness, then it's like the first thing that pops in, and it comes in really quick. So it could be a word, or it might be a sound, or it could be a feeling.
Right.
And so if you can be in a receptive state, and then just take the first thing and then analyze it after that, there's a communication that can start happening.
Wow, that's so cool.
The other thing is start using your imagination when you're seeing their facial expressions and be in a state of play. mm-hmm. right? Because when we're children, we don't have these limitations of, well, animals can't talk, you know. No, they can't verbally talk, but they're communicating all the time. So every time that you've like had a giggle at like the facial expressions of your animal, they have an opinion behind that. So if you use your imagination, what is my animal saying when they look at me like that? You know when they're being judgmental. You know, yeah. like, you know, when they're like, oh, mom, what are you doing? You know, so if you can start like, you know, using your imagination from yeah. that perspective, then you can start like having real rapport and okay. talk to them and That's see beautiful. What they do. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm. The last one was, how do we know we're not crazy when we think we know what our animals are trying to say to okay. us? That kind of flows on really well.
It does. Okay. So, no, you're not crazy. The thing that I want to say is to do with your intuition, the information will never, ever come with fear. Okay. So if you think, oh, my God, like the plane's going to crash it when I get on the plane, that's your ego. Mm. That's not your intuition. Intuition always comes in quietly. And it pops, okay? It's quick. So the way that we can think that, you know, we're not, give ourselves that credit that we're not crazy, again, if you haven't created it and you've received it, it's not from you.
Mm.
So if it's with the intention, always the intention, I'm connecting with my animal, then the information that you receive from your animal, can you accept it? And not, you know, because the animals... If somebody comes to me and they say, oh, I don't believe in animal communication, my dog's not talking to me, dog goes, I can't talk.
Because it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It's like, yeah, it's like, well, she doesn't think I can talk, yeah. so why would I tell you, you know, how can I tell you everything yeah. if she's not going to listen? You know, and I feel bad for the animals. But if you can have the intention, it's kind of like opening the door and stepping into the room, that in this room, after this intention, my animals can talk and I can hear them. Or I can receive the information. So it's not being crazy. Again, if you receive the information and you haven't created it, but it's not, if there's something that's serious with the animal, of course, please see your vet. Don't yeah. just, you know, go to an animal communicator or try to think, my dog said not to go. The animals might not want to go, but sometimes, like, you know, it's yeah. a necessity to go.
Yeah.
So this is about, like, you know, really stepping into your heart and knowing what's right for you.
Yeah. And you said that before we even started recording about, like, we have free will.
Yeah.
Over, like, you're just a messenger. You're just here to help, mm-hmm. but it doesn't make it definitive.
No. No. Yeah. It's like shining the map in, like, where you're at with your animal in communications. And if I do a psychic reading, I've shone the map on where you're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many different ways to get to a location.
Yeah.
You know, and you're traveling this way. So I can see a little bit further up ahead.
Yeah.
You know, and with the animals, if you like, you know, there's something that I say in a communication, whether it be about getting a puppy or, you know, another animal that you're welcoming into your life, that's up to you. So if the animal is meant to be with you, like I said, you cannot miss them. But saying that, you cannot force either, mm-hmm. you know. So it really is about, like, you know, being in alignment with yourself, with head and heart,
mm-hmm.
and being in a state of like, okay, I'm willing to accept what it is that, you know, I'm being guided to do, to trust your intuition,
yeah.
or I'm accepting to be peaceful and accepting that this is how it is for now.
Yeah.
So it's just, we just have to follow our heart.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. That's great advice. Well, thank you so much for being here. I feel like I could ask you a million more questions and we could chat for hours, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and sharing your wisdom and your beautiful gifts with everybody.
Thank you so much for having me, Shani.
How can people connect with you best to connect with you, to work with you, follow you online?
Okay, so I'm on socials, on Facebook and on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And then normally what I do is I send a Calendly link and then we, you know, link up online in Zoom. I'm worldwide, but I'm local. And so if you're on the Gold Coast, what I'm thinking of doing is opening up a day where I can do in-house visits within reason. To go and see animals in person as well, because yeah, it is such a treat to meet the animals in person.
I bet it is.
But, yeah, I'm local as well. So generally I don't need to be in proximity of your animals when I do the communications. It's not a necessity. All they need is a photo And then I record the sessions as well. But I prefer for the person to be a part of the process because you're the one that's in relationship with your animal.
Yeah.
You know, so, and in real time.
And I know you've just started doing a Substack.
Yes.
So you've got that. I'll put
Substack as well. Yeah.
I'll put all the links in the show notes, by the way. So all the links to your socials, your website, which also has the other things that you do, Reiki, emotional coding, all of that.
Yeah.
Your blog. Thank you so much. What a beautiful conversation. It's been so great to meet you in person.
Thank you so much, Annie.
So grateful for you. Thanks, Sanjal. Wait. Before you go, can I share something crazy with you? So our statistics tell us that 83% of you listening right now don't actually follow the show. And so I wanted to extend the invite. If you loved this episode and took some value away, please do go ahead and hit subscribe or follow to the show on whichever platform you're listening on. It really does make such a huge difference and really helps to support the show. You have no idea how much that little number helps support a self-funded podcast like this. It really helps us to keep bringing more episodes with incredible guests, and the larger the number, the bigger our guests get to be. Plus, it means you'll always be notified when an episode drops without you having to go and look for it. And if you're on Spotify, I wanted to extend the invite to head on over to the Q&A section below. Let's continue the conversation. I would love to hear and read what you have to say, and I always reply. Speaking of connection, I'd also love for you to come and say hello over on Instagram. My handle is @ShaniPeach, and it's where I show up the most. I share raw behind the scenes, and it's really where our community comes alive. So I'd love to invite you along. I read every single message that pops into my inbox, and I reply to all of them. So tell me what resonated from today's episode, because I would genuinely love to hear from you. And if you're new here and wanting to dive deeper into some work, our most listened to and shared episodes are episode 2 on nurturing your relationship with money, episode 3 on unlocking the power of your vision, and episode 4, it's all about surrendering to the how and trusting that things will unfold perfectly in divine timing for you. These episodes have transformed so many lives, so if you haven't listened yet, go back and start there, episode 2, 3, and 4. I have also created a whole library of free resources for you over at ShaniThompson.com. I'll pop the link in the show notes below. I've got free workshops, guided meditations, and tools to support you on your growth journey. Everything is there waiting for you. And last but not least, we are running a competition right now. Once we hit 100 reviews, I am gifting a limited edition Beats by Dre by Kimmy K earbuds to one lucky listener. To be in the running, simply leave a review on either Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Okay, that's it. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing this with anyone who you feel would really resonate with the message. And just thank you for being part of this journey with me. I genuinely love being in your ears. I'll see you on the next episode.